Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Speak the Word broadcast this morning. I am your host, Prophetess Jacqueline Price. I am just excited to be with you this morning to share the good news of Jesus, to let you know Father loves you. He's always fighting for you. Amen. You can count on him. You can trust him. You can know that he is your God. Hallelujah. So I want to invite you to come on in. Let's listen to what Father has to say this morning. Let's hear what the Word of God is saying to us. So come on in. Tell somebody that Speak the Word is on the air. You can contact them. Give them a quick shout out through Facebook, through Twitter, through Instagram. Just let them know, hey, Speak the Word's on the air. And I am excited to be with you. As always, yes, there is a word from the Lord. He has a word he wants to share with you, a word he wants to say to you. And I want to thank those who are coming in on Periscope, those who are coming in on Facebook. I love you guys. You're a joy to my heart. And I thank you for coming in and listening to this word this morning. Now, what I want to talk to you about today, we're going to be in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, a very familiar chapter. How about a makeover? Do you want God to make you over? We love to sing the song, Lord, make me over, but are you serious about the makeover? Are you serious about having a makeover in your life? Hallelujah. So we're going to be in Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. We're going to look at the first verse. And the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and told him to get up and go to the potter's house. Hallelujah. He said, there I will cause thee to hear my word. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. And the wheel and the vessel that he made of the clay was marred. The hand of the potter, he saw the vessel. It wasn't any good. The Bible says it was marred. So the hand of the potter, so he made it again. Another vessel as seemed good to the potters to make. So what is Father saying? Father said to the house of Israel, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter, says the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye in mine hands, O house of Israel. Now let's think about this morning. Just look at this. The Bible is saying to us through the word of Jeremiah, he's gone to the potter's house, and God says, I want to clue you in, right, Jeremiah? I want you to go and address my people, and I want to share this prophetic word that I'm sharing with them. Ask them this question from me. As the potter makes the clay, can I not do the same thing with you? Can I not make you over? Come on, we got to inspect this a little bit more. The Bible says, hallelujah, he's told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house, and we look at that fourth verse, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So, hello, the vessel was made, but it wasn't good. It wasn't just right. The potter wasn't satisfied with the vessel, amen? So the Bible says so clearly, what did he do? Broke that thing down. Let's try this one more time. Hallelujah. How many of you want a makeover? How many of you are saying, Lord, I truly want a makeover? Make me over. What do you mean by make me over? There are some things in my life I need you to break this stuff down, because if I'm not pleasing to you, I need a makeover. If I'm not living up to the standard that you call me to live up to, I need a makeover. So I need you to make me over again. See, we don't need to just sing the song, Lord, make me over. We need to really ask Abba to make me over. How do we do this? Look what the potter did. The potter inspected the clay. Excuse me. The potter inspected the clay and saw that it was not up to par. Some of us, we need to do an inspection on our lives and say, look, Father, show me, because I don't feel like I'm up to par. I'm not up to par. You are the potter. You know this clay. The Bible calls us vessels. Hallelujah. I want to be made a vessel of honor for you. So break me down what you got to do, what you got to do. Whatever you need to do to make me over. See, we cannot keep singing, Lord, make me over, and we don't want to have a makeover. Come on, Jesus. We can't keep saying, I want to be made over. I want to be just like Jesus. And some people say, I want to be more like Jesus. Hallelujah. That's my song. I want to be more like you. Some say, I want to be more like him. Some say, I want to be just like him. Me, I want to be just like you, Jesus. Because more, in other words, I don't want any of me in the way of Jesus. That's why you got to do a self-inspection. You got to look at yourself and say, how am I looking to my Father? How am I looking to my Father? Am I pleasing to him? Am I doing the things that make him happy? Am I doing the things that make my Father smile? Jeremiah had to go down to the potter's house because he had to see what Father wanted to say. And Father is saying, I need to break down some things, hallelujah, in my people's lives because they need a makeover. They need a makeover. But let's go a little deeper in this word because God's not only, he's speaking to the nation. He's speaking to the Israelite nation. So look what he says here in that sixth verse. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Can I not do it? Can I not do it with you as this potter? He says, so are ye in my hands. Hallelujah. I want to do the same thing. You're in my hands. I want to make you over. Verse number 7. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turns from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought unto do. So Father says, that's the question we need to ask ourselves. What am I putting before God? What am I putting before God? Am I making little small calves in my life? See, the children of Israel had Aaron to build this calf, and they begin to worship it. Am I making small things that are insignificant greater than my Abba? Am I making small things greater than my Heavenly Father? Lord, I need a makeover. I need to be stripped of those things that are not pleasing to you. See, God's going to do a makeover to this nation. Let me clue you in on some things right here, right now. Because this nation has turned its heart against Abba. This nation is going after other gods. Come on up in here. So Father is saying to this nation, I'm going to do you over again. Because I'm going to get my glory out of you, nation. I'm going to get my glory. You have destroyed my people. You ridicule my people. You killed my children. You sacrificed my babies. Come on up in here. He's going to do a makeover in this nation. Father gave me a prophetic word some years ago, and that prophetic word was this. I'm going to do a shaking, daughter. He told me I'm going to shake this nation because they've forgotten that I'm their God. I'm going to shake this nation because they have killed my babies and the blood is crying out from the ground for my children. He said, I'm going to shake this nation. You've forgotten God. The church has walked away from Abba. The church has become so politically correct that we don't want to share Jesus the way Father designed us to share Jesus. So he's going to shake this thing. You better hear this, prophet. He's going to shake it. And he told me there was going to be weeping in the streets. He told me that. And it's time for the nation, the United States, to wake up. One thing God told the children of Israel, he said, tear down your idols. Tear down your idols. Repent. Tear down your idols. When is this nation going to repent? When is this nation going to apologize to Father for sinning against it? When is this nation going to do that? Oh, we love to say we're the nation under God, baby. We're the nation that has forgotten God. And the Bible says, woe to the nation that forgets their God. Woe to that nation. So we can't get mad because we see things happening. Because let me tell you something. If you don't yield to the will of Father, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? You make it available for Satan to come and wreak havoc. wreaks havoc. He comes and brings chaos. He comes and brings confusion. And what do? We sit back and join in the chaos. We call it political. We call it social. We do everything but call on Jesus, because he said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and what? Turn from their wicked ways, I'm ready to heal the land. But right now, he's going to shake this land up. Oh, God, come on up in here, Holy Spirit. We got people who want to now take children and want to marry babies starting at a young age and say, you nasty things, you. You want to pass laws to abuse children, you nasty jokers. That's why there's a shaking coming to this nation. Do you not think that God is going to overlook sin? Do you not think Father's going to overlook the sin and say, oh, that's just them sinning? No, because you said we're a nation under God. The forefathers of this country said there's a nation, we're a nation under God. So he's going to shake it. I'm listening to the word of God as I'm doing my daily walk. And I'm listening to the word of God, and Father says in the book of Exodus, don't be sleeping with no animals. Now, just think about this thing. I'm going to get back to what God got me going. Just think about this. Why would Father in the book of Exodus tell the children of Israel, don't sleep with no animals? It's an abomination. It's foul to me. Why would he say that? And then lo and behold, we got people who love animals, who sleep with them. In this day and age, what's going on? There's a shaking coming to this nation. There's a shaking coming to the world. What's going on? God says, don't sleep with man, don't sleep with man. Woman, don't sleep with woman. Oh, but we pass laws to make you feel good. There's a shaking coming. There's a shaking coming. We need a makeover. So people are going to get mad. They're going to get frustrated. They're going to get angry. Oh, you're coming against me. I'm coming against sin. It's an abomination. Sin stinks in God's nostrils. When will this nation recognize that sin is stinking in our Heavenly Father's nostrils? But we're going to sing that song, Lord, make me over, and don't mean it. Some people, Lord, make me over. And God begins to make you over, begin to deal with your heart. And first thing you say with Father, oh, that's my beauty mark, my spiritual beauty mark. Don't touch that, Father. Don't touch that right now. That makes me feel good. That makes me look good. That gets me all these compliments. Uh-uh. Make me over. Make me over. Got preachers fornicating, committing adultery. And everybody's loving it. Oh, we love you. Oh, we forgive you. But if that joker won't turn from his wicked ways, God says I'm going to deal with you. See, people get mad at this. They think you're judging that. They want you to be sensitive. But I know what the word of the Lord says. He told Timothy, you be instant in season and out of season. So people don't want to hear rebuke. They want to hear, oh, speak to me softly. Speak to me gently. I can't handle a hard heart. I can't handle this hardness that you got going on, prophetess. I've got to speak the word of God. And until we change in the church, until we change and say, I'm tired of being the way I am. There's a shaking coming, babies. There's a shaking coming, and nobody wants to hear the word of God, because all they want you to do is tell me about the next car I'm going to get. Tell me about the house I'm going to get. Tell me about the land I'm for. Tell me about the money that's coming to me. Oh, money cometh now. What about Jesus? What about Jesus? What about what Jesus wants? He wants you to live holy. He wants holiness out of you. He sent his only begotten son so that you can live godly. Jesus shed his blood so you don't have no excuse for all this sinning that's going on in here. You willfully are sinning against the Most High God, and you want Father to pat you on the back and say, you doing good? No, he says judgment is going to come to the house of God. How can you have revival? How can you have a new awakening if you don't have people who won't come to themselves and say, you know what? I got to get it together. I got to get it together. Yes, we need Jesus. He sacrificed. He gave his blood. He shed for his blood for you and me. And he wants you to know that that's the gospel. Paul said, if I bring unto you any other gospel, don't listen to me. The gospel is that Jesus Christ shed his blood for you. He hung on the cross for you. He died so that you might have a right to live eternally. But it's your choice to make, not an excuse to make. It's your choice to say, I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to live godly. You can sanctify yourself. Sanctification is a daily process. He came, he was a righteous sacrifice for you. The Bible says your righteousness is as filthy rags. Hallelujah. So he was a righteousness. So what are you doing? See, you have no excuse. In the last days, the Bible says we're going to be standing before God. We're inexcusable, old man. What you going to tell God? God, you know, this was just the way I was, this is the way I am, and you love me. Jesus, let me tell you, Jesus loves you, baby. He loves you so much. That's why Father sent him to die for you. But you know what? You're the one that makes the decision of where you're going to go in the end. Heaven or hell, let me tell you, let me clue you in. Hell is real. Hell is still real. People believe heaven, oh, I'm going to heaven, but nobody believe they're going to burn in hell. But, baby, hell is still real. And not only is hell real, the Bible says it's going to be tossed into the lake. So you got a double fire going on up in there. So hell is real. You don't want to hear about hell because hell makes you have to be conscious and conscious of your actions. Don't tell me I'm going to go to hell. No, I'm going to tell you something. My sister, I love this statement to this very day. She was the owner of a clinic, a family clinic, and her statement was to a person that she had to fire. She said, I'm not firing you. You firing yourself. Father is, let me tell you something. God's not going to send you hell, send you to hell. You're going to send yourself. The choice is yours. You're going to send you to hell if you don't get your act together, straight up. If you don't really say, Father, make me over, change me, change the way I'm thinking, change the way I'm speaking, I'm saying stuff I shouldn't be saying, I'm living the way I shouldn't be living, I'm sleeping with a man I shouldn't be sleeping with, a woman I shouldn't be sleeping with, help me, make me over. I'm wrong. I'm wrong. There's a shaking coming, baby. And what are we doing? Being so sensitive that you can't say anything to anybody these days. You can't say anything to anybody these days about their lifestyle. Because why? You judging me about my lifestyle. Don't judge me about my lifestyle. If your lifestyle is not lining up with the word of God, I have a right to judge you about your lifestyle. If your life is... God is saying, it's time. We're in Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, that first verse. So let's look at this. Oh, prophetess, you clued me in. I'm seeing myself. See, if you can see you, then you can own you. But if you refuse to see you and think you okay, then God says, no, you need to fix that. You can. Jesus came. And he died for you. He died on the cross so you could have a right to live eternally. But people don't choose that life because you know why? Because I don't want you to talk about what I do. Well, if what you do is wrong, I'm going to talk about what you do. And the Bible says all unrighteousness is a sin. All unrighteousness. So all unrighteousness is a sin. Why are we so full when people talk to you about your sin? If you live in unrighteousness, if you're living ungodly, God says, get that together. So, well, and then we want to make excuses about how can we justify ourselves to Abba? We can't. So we have to repent. That's what we do. We repent. I can't justify myself to God. I got to repent of whatever I've done that displeased him. And the best way to do that is just say, Father, forgive me. I'm sorry. I own what I just did to you. And I know people don't like this type of preaching or teaching or whichever one you want to call it, but it's my job to clue us in on the fact that Father says, your sin is smelling in my nostrils and I'm not liking it. It's stinking and I'm not liking it. This nation has a lot to pay for, and God, this nation's going to pay for a lot of things, and we don't believe it, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Oh, come on up here, Holy Spirit. We tripped over COVID. You ain't seen nothing yet. If my people would just humble themselves and pray and seek my face, when are we going to just turn our face toward the wall and say, Father, like Hezekiah did, and say, I'm sorry for what I've done. Lord, make me over. We love to sing the song, Lord, make me over. That's my favorite song, make me over. But no, you don't want him to touch the areas that need to be made over. You don't want him to address those thoughts that you have in your mind. You don't want him to address those things. You don't want to address the lust, the covenant. You're coveting other people, what other folk have. You don't want him to address those areas because I'm living large and living in charge. You don't want him to address those things when you're not helping your fellow man, when you have a capacity to do so. Come on. You don't want to address what's going on in the lives of others because that's not my problem. We need a makeover. So Jeremiah, he's at the potter's house, and God says, now tell him, Jeremiah, can I not do the same thing with them? Can I not make you over? What is it that you're struggling with that you need, Father, to make you over? Change my heart. If you envy and jealous and got malice and hatred in your heart, you got to do something about it. Because in the book of Romans, hallelujah, actually in Corinthians, it talks about how we should be walking in love. Why are we not walking in love? What's wrong with loving one another? I don't care what you have. You're my brother and my sister. I love you. What's wrong with me saying I love you? But people get on social media, y'all whine and complain, or they think they all that, or y'all both. What is this? Comparison. Oh, you got that, but let me show you what I got. What about our relationship? See, I'm about the relationship with Father. What about your relationship with God? Because the Bible says heaven and earth is going to pass away, but his word is going to stand forever. This old heaven, this old earth is going to be passing away. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and you got to ask yourself, am I going to be in the number? Am I going to be a part of that? Will I be in a part of that? Remember, hell is hot, hell is real. People don't want to believe it. Everybody ain't going to heaven, baby. Jesus said the same thing. Everybody said, Lord, Lord, ain't going to enter in. Okay. Everybody said, Lord, Lord, you're not going to enter in. So you better check yourself. How I'm looking, how I'm living. Those who think they have it together, let me say, those that think they have it together, the Bible talks about that. He tells us, don't think more highly than we ought to think. As you may think you have together, you got to double check yourself. Am I going to be in the number? Is my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Am I really going to be living the way? Am I living the way He wants me to live? Hallelujah. Live righteously. Live soberly. Live God conscious. My prayer is that people will get a God conscious and say, you know what? I got to stop making excuses. I got to stop saying that God knows my heart, as I said on last week. I got to stop saying that I'm not worse off than so-and-so. If you're not doing right, if you're not living godly, living righteously, stop comparing yourself to what so-and-so doing. You know, they doing worse than I am, girl. Let me tell you something. They doing worse than I am. Why would you want to compare yourself to somebody that's doing worse than, and you want to claim worse than you are? So you need to check yourself and like, wait a minute, I need a makeover. Here I am, Lord. See, the Bible says that we were formed in sin and shaped in iniquity. Okay, So when that baby's born in sin, straight up. That baby's not born righteous. That baby's not, when that Bible says we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity, that baby comes out, that baby is born in a state of a sin nature. Now he's got to be renewed, reborn, when he gets older, when he comes into the knowledge of Jehovah God. Hallelujah. I don't care much how much we can christen you. We can christen them babies. There have been so many babies been christened. We can christen you till Jesus comes. But that child has to still grow up with the mindset that I want to live godly. I want to be pleasing to God. That's why parents, God has charged you to train the child up in the way it should go. Not parents. Don't. I'm going to wait till they find out, let them name themselves and let them have their own gender, let them figure out what gender they want to be. No, that's foolishness again. So I'm going to call them them, they, him, not him, them, they, it, whatever. I'm going to call them all of that. Hello, brother. I'm going to call them all of that. So until they figure out what identity they want to be. Nope, wrong. Somebody about to say wrong, wrong, wrong. The Bible says he created them, male and female created he, him, them. So parents, stop tripping. Stop tripping. Child, when it comes out of the womb, it's either a boy or a girl. Don't trip. It's not a them. It's not a they. It's a he or a she. See, we got to see, if we don't stand for righteousness, my brothers and my sisters, if we don't stand for godliness, I told you there's a shaking coming. And if we don't stand for righteousness and godliness, we, our children is growing up in a state of, what they going to call me? Our children are growing up in a state of, now am I my identity wrong? Am I wrong in my own identity? Did my mom or my dad, do I need to research and find out what my identity is? Foolishness. Precious Christ, why are you talking about this? Because you need to wake up. We need to wake up. The Bible says it's bad to be sleeping in the state and a time of, that we're in right now. We're in a time that we don't need to be sleeping in dangerous times. We don't need to be sleeping in dangerous times. It's time for us to wake up, shake ourselves, and say, you know what? I got to help somebody. We got people who want to run this country. I'm talking not, I'm not just talking about the president. I'm talking about other people who want to run this country, and they want to run it on a gender where pedophiles can marry little babies and destroy their lives. We're in a country where pedophiles want to marry children at the age of 8 because they want to say, you know, in my mind, I see me as a 16-year-old, and I'm 70. In my mind, I see me as this. Wake up! You better look what God is trying to tell us. We don't want to wake up. Because some people like what this, oh, some people like it. Some people like it. Just think about this. I'm not on a political thing. I'm on a God thing right now. I'm on what God said us to this in the Word of God. If you search the scriptures, you will see we're living in a time where people want to sleep with animals. People want to sleep. Men want to sleep with children. Want to pass a law so that can happen. I believe it's in California, if I'm not mistaken. We're living in a state of a time where now I can marry her because she's 4 years old, but I can still say she mine. We're living, come on. And we're sitting back. Where my car? Where my house? Where my money in the bank? Preachers, what's wrong with you? We got to preach the gospel. We got to tell people more than about God's going to give you a new car. I'm not going to God prophesy to you. God's going to give you a new car. He's going to give you a new house. He's going to do all these things. He's going to put money in your bank. And we got people that are dying. We got children that are being trafficked, caught up in being trafficked every day, every day, every day, every day. They're being trafficking all every day. And what are we doing? I'm waiting on my car. I'm waiting on my husband. We got to cry out, the Bible says, and spare not. Cry loud, men of God. Cry loud, women of God. We got to cry loud and spare not. Show my people their transgressions. We got to say, do you see it? Do you see? You see transgression. You're transgressing against God. I'm crying out today. Cry loud and spare not. It's time to wake up. And I want to speak to the body of Christ right now. It's time to live godly. Jesus is coming, and we still sitting back in a lull state of mind. We're in a sleeping state of mind, and we're not doing anything. We have teachers who are not men and women who are teaching, and that's good. I'm all for encouraging you. I do that every now and then. It's good to be encouraged. Yes, some people need encouragement, but you need to be awakened. You need to wake up. Ask him to make you over. Ask him to change the way you see life. Ask him to, Lord, don't let me be so selfish about me all the time. Don't let me be focused on me all the time. Oh, come on. Oh, you that's got that pain in your back and on your side, be healed. Be healed. Oh, you caught a pain right then and there. I felt that thing. Be healed. It's time to say, Father, help me. Help me to do, help me to really lose me and my mindset and the way I'm viewing my life if it doesn't line up with your word. Help me to preach it. Help me to live it. Help me to say, I love you, Jesus, and mean it. Now, I love you guys. It's not about sugarcoating. We got too much sugar already on our cereal. That's what I said. I already got too much sugar in the cereal. We need some fiber, baby. We need fiber in our spiritual diet. We've been having too much sweets. Been going too many sweets been given to us. We need some fiber. We need fiber because we got to move this spiritual digestive system. We got to move this stuff out of us. We need some true spiritual fiber in our spiritual diet. Too much sugar been going on. People been giving you all this sugar to make you feel good. And what you're doing, you still feel the same way. You need a spiritual fiber diet, baby. I said it and I mean it. Why? Because we got to change our mindsets. Help me, Jesus, to change my mindset. We're in the church. People are so busy being jealous of folk in the church. You in the same body. Many members, yet one body. What you jealous over a member in the body? Really? Just because, they got close to pastor and pastor didn't acknowledge me. Really? You that stuck on acknowledgement? Really? You that stuck on being liked? See, that's what I mean, too much sugar. Oh, he hugged her. He didn't hug me. Oh, first lady hugged her, but she didn't even speak to me. Really? Too much sugar. What you mean? Just what I said, you need to replay that later on. Too much sugar in your diet, baby. You need to check yourself. You need to change the way you're thinking about yourself. Life is more than just, I need validation. You have the book to validate you, because the book is going to line you up with the word. The word's going to show you, and you won't see, I got to have validation from past. I got to have validation from this individual. Don't get me wrong, I'm all for encouragement. But if you spend your life trying to have people to validate you, when you going to live? I can't move until I know that it's okay with so-and-so. So-and-so might not even be clued into Jesus, and you are all about what so-and-so going to say. I got to be real. It's time for us to stop the craziness, the madness in the church. And there are people, you're sitting in churches that you know God told you to get your hips up out the church because that leader's not preaching right, that leader's not living right, but I'm going to sit right here. You know why? Because you're attached to some stuff. Mm-hmm. You better move. You better take a shift. You're attached to something, and God's telling you, get detached. How you doing, Pastor? Get detached. Oh, come on up in here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to close this out in a minute, but I want to show something to you. When the angels of the Lord were talking to Lot, talking to Abraham, And Father God was talking to him, and God told Abraham, look, I am going to go and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going to wipe them out because their sin has just really come up before me, their degradation. I'm going to wipe them out. Long story short, the angels of the Lord go into Sodom and Gomorrah, and they say, look, get out of the city, Lot, you, your wife, your children, if they married, their husbands, get out. Long story short, Lot of them didn't leave. So end up leaving Lot's two daughters, his wife, but the Bible says she was evidently attached to something because the Bible says she looked back, and she was given specific instructions. Don't look back. Many of you, God has told you to move forward, and you're constantly looking back, and you're constantly looking back to things that God says, when are you going to let that go and move forward? But you're like her, Lot's wife. You got to look back. You're craving things of the past. When are you going to let it go? You're craving what somebody did to you a long time ago and hurt you. When are you going to let that go? Stop looking back. Ask God to make your heart over. Ask God to renew your heart. Help me, God, make my heart over. I'm still dealing with the same wound, the same hurt, and I still want somebody to change, and I don't want to change, so I need a makeover. Don't look back. Stop looking at the past. You can't change what happened in the past. Pastors teach and preach to the people. They can't change what's in the past. I can't change what happened in the past. We spend our days figuring out how can I change what happened in the past. No, you got to move forward. Let me tell you something right quick. I was in my kitchen just doing a little cooking and stuff, and Father dropped this in my spirit. Ooh, that hit me so deep. He reminded me, he said, daughter, you remember when I first started you out, and he was letting me know when I first started doing my conferences, 1998. And the title of my conferences were Moving in the Now. Moving in the now. When are you going to move in the now of what God has for you? When are you going to stop going back to those old things and say, you know what? I got to move in the now plan that God has for me. We love to quote Jeremiah 30:17. I know the thoughts and plans, 29:11. I know the thoughts and plans he thinks toward me. You know them, but you won't move. God has a lot of plans. And sometimes we think, oh, it's all good. You know, some people are going through in their bodies, but they're yet praising God. And somebody says, is that God's plan for them? What up with their lives? I was listening to a testimony recently of a woman who was an atheist. She did not know God. Come to find that her and her husband didn't know God, but they came to find God and love him so much, but now she's dealing with some sicknesses in her body. And she made this statement, I am so happy now than I've ever been when I was well. So we don't know. God has thoughts and plans that he thinks with us. Sometimes people are living better lives in the state they find themselves. Sometimes in sicknesses, they're saying, you know what, I'm rejoicing in this, even though I might be dealing with this in my body. I'm rejoicing because I know him, because to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. So I'm okay with that. That's some people's testimony. Some people say, you know what, I know he knows the thoughts and plans he thinks toward me. I'm in another country right now. I'm dealing with helping other people in other countries, but I'm suffering persecution, but I'm rejoicing in it. Why? Because that's a thought and plan he's thinking toward me, that I can be a help for you to reach souls for Jesus Christ. He knows the thoughts and plans he has toward me. See, we want to wrap them around in things. Oh, he's gonna do me good? Yeah, he's going to do me good. Because I got peace and knowing that I'm in my purpose. I got peace knowing that he's doing the greatest work in me that I ever thought he could do. I got peace knowing that I'm on an assignment that he's put me on. I got peace knowing that he has already ordained my steps because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So I got peace in that thing. So, yeah, he does know the thoughts and plans he has for us. I was listening to the word of God, and he told Pharaoh, look, I was the one that brought you here for such a time as this. In other words, Pharaoh, I'm the one that allowed you to be born so that I could use you for my glory, for my good. What in the world? When I was listening to that, I'm like, okay, now, Father, you know you're something else. God will use somebody, an enemy, and say, I chose you for a purpose so that my people could see my glory. Moses, you're on the backside of burning bushes, burning of the desert, but I chose you for my purpose. And you complain about you. I don't talk right. I can't talk right. We give God excuses, and God says, I chose you for my purpose. Well, I'm not right. And then God says, okay, I'm going to give you a little help. We're going to use Aaron. He's going to be your spokesman. God picks us out and chooses us, and yet and still we're saying, you know, I don't feel adequate, God. I'm still talking about makeover, y'all. I don't feel adequate. I don't speak like he speaks, or I don't speak like she speaks. You know, I don't have that deep drawl in my voice. I don't, you know, deep preachers, we preach and I have that yeah going on in there. I don't have none of that. So I don't feel adequate enough to share your word. God didn't ask you for all that. He asked you to be a mouthpiece. Just open it. I love what the scripture says. You open it, I'm going to feel it. Open up your mouth, I will feel it. I will feel your mouth. I didn't ask you to be like somebody else. I chose you because you were unique to you. And I created you because you're unique, and I knew what I wanted to do in your life and how I wanted to use you. So don't mimic somebody else when I've already ordained your life to be what I want it to be. And that's the problem so many times. We have people who are trying to be like the next person on social media, the next preacher. That's them. That's not you. And then David said it like this. I can't wear your armor, baby. You better tell somebody, I can't wear your armor. Your armor does not fit me. I'm a slingshot person. All I need is some rocks, and I can throw it and knock you out. I'm a slingshot person. Your armor don't work on me. The armor that works on me is the one that God told me. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I need to put on the helmet of salvation, the sword, and have the sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. My feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Hallelujah, the belt of truth. I can't wear your armor. Come on. I can't wear yours. I got to wear my armor. And the armor that he gave me. In other words, I got to be who he called me to be, baby. I got to be what he ordained me to be. No, you do your thing. That's your business. I'm somebody like, you know what? You can model your business after mine. Let me show you what I did. No, that's your business. I'm unique. I got to have my business the way he gave it to me. He gave me this vision, so I'm going to do it the way he ordained me to do it. That's your armor, baby. Hallelujah. I can't wear your armor. I told you I'm a slingshot person. Oh, I need some rocks. I can show you what I'm working with. Hallelujah. Too often we're trying to do the things that God says, why are you doing that? I told you about the time. I don't know what I told you, but I'm going to tell you now. I was thinking about going back to school. I was just thinking about going back to school, and I was just talking about going back to school and everything, and I had a dream. And in the dream, my husband was talking to me, and I said, I'm thinking about going back to school. And I heard just as clear as a bell, you've got everything you need inside of you. Father spoke that so clearly to me. So I'm not knocking those, you go do you, baby. I'm not knocking education, I'm not knocking you excelling, but I'm going by what he told me, and which is this, I can't wear your armor. He got everything he wants me to do. He's put it inside of me. Now what I got to do, I got to work out my own soul salvation with fear and trembling. What I got to do, I got to let what he's put in me come out of me. Hallelujah. Come on. Well, Holy Spirit, I love him. See, we're so busy trying to conform to way people are, and we're trying to mimic their lifestyles. We're trying to do all these things instead of being unique to what God has made us to be. We're so busy trying to do all these things and say, you know what? Jesse Jackson put it so succinctly. I am somebody. I am somebody. Until we recognize who we are, we're going to always be trying to figure out, let me see. Ooh, let me tell you something. It's nothing wrong with having mentors. We got a lot of people who call mentorship and counselors. We got so many counselors in the church. Where the preachers at? Oh, come on. We got so many counselors. Where the preachers? Where the teachers? Ain't nothing wrong with counseling. Have no problem with it. Believe in doing it. I don't need a motivational speaker. I need somebody going to teach me the word of God. I'm the motivational speaker. No, baby, that ain't my slingshot. That ain't my armor. I'm a slingshot person. You know, I'm not. No, I can encourage you. I'm not motivational. So get that. I'm here to tell the gospel truth. See, I'm not here to make you feel good. Now, if this message is doing you good, that's all you need. Because I want to give you the meat of the word so you can eat, and you can eat and you can digest it and you can feel good as that fiber, spiritual fiber going through your system. Some of us are blocked up because all we eat is sugar. We look for, oh, Holy Spirit, you know you're talking to me. Let me tell you guys something. He just told me this. You know, we got people who search the web for good messages, who search the web for something that's going to make me, ooh, that made me feel so good. But when you see another message that's talking about you, how it can help you, pulling off the old man and putting on the new man, what do you do? Oh, well, let me skip that. I don't need to hear that today. I need something that's going to really help me this morning. You need more sugar. But that sugar's going to rotten out your spiritual teeth because you're not eating no fiber, baby. And then when hard-pressed moments in your life come, what do? Nobody loves me. If everybody just knew what I was going through. But you didn't want to digest that whole word and just eat that whole roll. I like what Father told Elijah. He said, look, I want you to eat it. It's going to go down. He also, I believe it's Isaiah mentioned it too. It's going to taste sweet on that tongue. But when it hits that belly, it's going to be feeling so sour. Hallelujah. It was John. He mentioned it to John too. Let me tell you something. You got to get stuff that's going to help your digestive, spiritual digestive system. You got to stop eating a bunch of junk. You got to stop chasing after a next word. Oh, I need a word. I need a word. I need a word. Stop chasing after every prophetic word, because every one of those prophetic words is not designed for your spirit man. Oh, my God. My husband, who's a pastor, he used to say this. People be saying, I claim that for me. I claim that for me. And that ain't designed for you. That word might not have been for you. But we'd rather claim every other word instead of getting into the word to see what the word says about you, what it says about me. I got to search this word. What are we going to do when Jesus comes? That's what I want to know. What are we going to do? You can't blame the preacher, because the preacher going to be up there trying to give his own excuse. Come on up in here. Come on up in here. Either you're going to get it well done or you're going to get it apart. Which one do you want, a well done or depart from me? Because there's not going to be any in-between. That's why you got to live your life now. Live it to the fullest. What I mean by, people say, I'm living my best life. If your best life don't line up with Jesus, you're not living your best life, baby. If your best life does not have Jesus in it, you're not living your best life. Oh, come on up in here. I'm living my best life. But they ain't telling you what's going on behind the scenes of their life. I don't care how much money you put out on the bed to show people on social media. Ooh, look what I'm making. I'm making cha-ching. No, that's your rent money. That's your car note. That's your check. But you're living your best life. Come on up in here. I'm not knocking anybody's increase. I'm saying if your life is not lining up, you're going to have to give an account of every deed the Bible said that was done in your body. What you going to do? What you going to do? What you going to say? See, I can give an excuse. I can give you an excuse and say, oh, this, and you think I'm all good. Oh, that's your excuse? Okay, I accept that. But you can't come to God with that excuse, because God's going to say, no, no. Have you ever heard, roll that bean footage from the Bush bean commercial? God's going to be saying, roll that footage. Do you see what you did? And you call it your best life. You gave me no worship. You gave me no praise. You gave me no honor. When I healed your body, you gave the credit to the doctor. You didn't give it to me. You called it luck. Oh, come on up in here. I'm just lucky. No, God did that for you, but you call it living your best life. I spared you from an accident, and you said, "Ooh, I'm so lucky. I was lucky out of that one." No, that was Jehovah that stopped them from hitting you. Oh, but you living your best life. Hallelujah. How about I'm living a blessed life? I'm living a blessed life. Because I recognize that my life is not my own. When are people going to say, you know what? This is not my life. This body don't even belong to me. This is a temple that is designed to house the house of God, designed the spirit of the Most High God. This is not mine to do whatever I want to do with. It's not mine to go sleep with John, Joe, whomever. It's not mine to cheat on my husband. It's not mine. It belongs to Jesus. And he told me to present my body as a living sacrifice unto him, holy and acceptable unto him. That is my everyday reasonable service, is to live this life, a best life, a blessed life, rather, before my Most High Father. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Why spend all this energy, and then when you get to bed, you're exhausted because you've done all that you could to try to make you be who you're not? When you see prophets, it's prophets, baby. It's me. When you see me, this is me. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to make you feel good. I'm not showing. I'm not going to put on no show for you. People who know me, no, this is me. Amen. Because I'm away with that. I've been there. I've been with that facade. God delivered me from that. He removed that out of me. I got empty from that. I spent my life trying to be what people wanted me to be when I was younger. I'm away with that. I'm no longer that Jackie. I'm not the same woman I used to be. So I don't have to try to make you feel good and try to pretend to be somebody I'm not. Remember, I don't wear your armor, baby. You need to say the same thing. Some of you spend your days and your energy trying to be what people want you to be instead of saying, you know what? I just want to be what He, Father, God wants me to be. I'm not going to spend my energy trying to make you feel good and me exhausting myself so that you can feel good and I pretend to be something I'm not so that you can feel good. No. Not going to do. I love you guys. I pray that this message has enriched you because it is time. I'm telling you, better hear this, woman of God. There's a shaking coming. And the thing about God, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, the Bible says, let every word be established. I just so happened to be watching something, just happened to look on something, I think it was Sid Ross, and happened to look at something on social media, and Sid Ross had a guest on there talking about a shaking's coming. I'm like, God, you know, there's a shaking coming. So you need to get ready by saying, God, let me examine myself, make me over. I don't want to just sing the song, Lord, make me over. I really want you to make me over. Amen? Let me pray for you. I love you guys so very much. Hallelujah. But before I do, I want to encourage you, don't forget to get Minister Angela Johnson's book, The Authentic Woman. Get this book, you guys. I love y'all. Just go to the website, my website, jlpministry.org. jlpministries.org. You will find her link on my homepage and get this book, The Authentic Woman. It's going to bless you real good. I'm telling you. I thank you on Facebook, Periscope. I love y'all so much. Kisses, hugs. I love you. Be encouraged. Live a blessed life. Because when you live a blessed life, you're going to see Him continue to do His greatest work in you, and you have no worries. You have no frustrations because you know You're not living on somebody else's intentions. You're living on God's intentions for you. Amen? Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you so much for these jewels that have been watching me. I pray that you would enrich their lives. Whatever they're dealing with, Father, I just decree a manifestation of healing in their physical bodies, a manifestation in their spiritual bodies, a renewing of their minds, Father. Whatever is on their hearts, God, help them to empty themselves. If they're carrying something that you have not ordained for them to carry, lift them of those heavy burdens. Ooh, still that person now. You know what? Then God says there's a person who's got a lower back problem. You have a lower back problem, and God says, I want you to be healed of that lower back problem. And I speak that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, and you know what? God just let me know. Somebody, you just need to go and get your spine adjusted. You need to get your spine adjusted there because that's what's going on. You need an adjustment in your spine, all right? And go to a good chiropractor, and they'll adjust your spine really good for you. Hallelujah. So, Father, thank you for touching them. Thank you for manifestation. Thank you for increase. Thank you for doing your greatest work. I love them, Father. Bless them. Amen. I'll be with you in 2 weeks. I'll be back with you in 2 weeks. I love you guys. Be encouraged. Be strengthened. And walk in a blessed life. Be blessed. Bye-bye.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yo, a lot of people.
Thank you for tuning in to Speak the Word broadcast this morning. Hallelujah.
Oh, come in.
I want you to tell people to come on in this morning, and I want to thank you for tuning in to Speak the Word broadcast this morning. I am your host, Prophet Jacqueline Price. I am just excited to be with you this morning to share the good news of Jesus, to let you know Father loves you. He's always fighting for you. Amen. You can count on him. You can trust him. You can know that he is your God. Hallelujah. We depend upon him and we appreciate him. Amen.
All right.
So I want to invite you to come on in. Let's listen to what Father has to say this morning. Come on in. Tell somebody that Speak the Word is on the air. You can contact them, give them a quick shout out through Facebook, through Twitter, through Instagram. Just let them know, hey, Speak the Word's on the air. And I am excited to be with you. As always, yes, there's a word from the Lord. He has a word he wants to share with you, a word he wants to say to you. And I want to thank those who are coming in on Periscope, those who are coming in on Facebook. I love you guys. You're a joy to my heart. And I thank you for coming in and listening to this word this morning. Now, what I want to talk to you about today, we're going to be in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, a very familiar chapter. How about a makeover? Do you want God to make you over? We love to sing the song, Lord, make me over, but are you serious about the makeover? Are you serious about having a makeover in your life? Hallelujah. So we're going to be in Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. We're going to look at the first verse. And the Bible says, in the words of the Lord, from Jeremiah, where the Lord...
Praise him. Go ahead, Chad.